It's called A Decentralized Fantasy, and it's a translation of a text I wrote originally in Danish, and I've been trying to translate it these last few days, and some of you have been helping me. Thank you. So here it goes. A Decentralized Fantasy. In one of my fantasies, the sun and the moon are talking to each other. They exchange greetings and trifles, and you hear the sun saying, "Good to see you. How are things?" And the moon replies, "Thanks. I'm all right. And you? Can't complain. I feel like the yolk in an egg." This always happens. It's a form of foreplay, and while they converse, I consider how I might stir things up. I must have drifted off, because when I return to the scene, they've moved past the warm-up and into a friendly exchange of childhood anecdotes. You hear the hollow voice of the moon. It was an entirely new perspective. Suddenly I was alone. I almost don't know how to describe it. I've gotten used to it now, but back then it was fundamentally different. I just couldn't believe what was happening, and it all went so fast. I was heading towards God knows what destiny, and I had no way of knowing if the gravity of the earth would be strong enough to stop me. I say the earth, right? But back then I didn't even have the right words to describe what was happening. I saw myself flying away from myself. Can you imagine that? The sun nods with a serious expression on its face. No, that sounds crazy. But you find a way to cope, right? You get used to the most unthinkable things. Flexibility, right? Exactly, the moon agrees and continues. It's just one of those things you have to deal with. Even though you haven't tried anything like it before, you have to come up with a way. Or as Europa always says, if you have a nut to crack that no one has cracked before, you'll have to invent the creaker. The sun laughs. Amazing, I must say. You and Europa still get together? She's a great girl. The moon looks a bit pensive and avoids the sun's gaze. Yeah, we do actually. But not every Monday or anything like that. Maybe the moon regrets having brought up Europa, or perhaps it's just being polite. Regardless, it tries to encourage the sun to talk about itself. But what about you? What things do you think linger with us longest? Which childhood memories do you recall clearest? Oh, I don't know. I'm a little older than you, so... Ah, come on! Well, it's really difficult to describe. It's like you said, something fundamentally different. A radically different sort of perception. Something was added that I didn't have before, and I began to look at things in a different light. The sun pauses and stares into the distance. But what happened? The moon asks curiously. They're both silent for a long moment. Finally, the sun continues. First, it was like having no center. Like being several places at once. Well, my body has almost forgotten the feeling now, but back then I didn't really think of myself as separate from anything. That's probably the simplest way of putting it. And then, when the whole thing collapsed, things were pressed together, and time felt like it was shivering. Afterwards, when everything had been rearranged, I felt so heavy. I never felt that way before. I never considered my own extent. I know it sounds weird, but it's very difficult to describe in words. The sun looks up at the moon, which nods with recognition. I can imagine. I'm not sure I understand completely, but I can definitely relate to it. The moon is eager to show its support, and it begins to compare the two stories in various ways. The sun seems a bit distant, but adds an acknowledgement here and there. Actually, I think their conversation has taken quite an interesting turn today. Sometimes they don't even make it past the formalities, and just continue to ask those little polite questions that always end up stranding the conversation. Anyway, I had eventually come up with something I could contribute. For some reason, The conversation reminded me of this theory that if you freeze your body when you die, one day they'll be able to revive it using all that wonderful technology that's just waiting to be invented. I read about the subject. Cryoconservation. It's an interesting thought, I think. And I heard it's goddamn cold out there in space. So I imagine Walt Disney's frozen head in fast circulation around the moon. Cold is rippling around him, creating a cloud of frost in his wake. The sun is distracted by the high speed of Mr. Disney and says to the moon, "Ooh, seems you got yourself a satellite." The moon looks at Mr. Disney and lifts an eyebrow as he slingshots by. "Well, what do you know? They might have cremated his body, but it seems they sent his head here." "Looks like it," the sun giggles. "You're attracting interesting things." The moon tries to look unaffected. "As I said earlier, there are certain things in life you don't have a power over, so you just have to make do as best you can. But he really is disturbing my view quite a bit. He's like a race car." "Hey! Hey, Mr. Disney!" The moon yells, apparently to no avail. Mr. Disney's speed is possibly too high for him to hear anything. The moon sighs. "Jesus." The sun smiles and tries to comfort its friend. "Wait and see. Maybe he'll slow down eventually." There's silence for a moment between the two. All you hear is a soft howl when Mr. Disney goes by. The moon and its new companion are moving closer to the shadow of the earth when the sun breaks the silence. "Well, it's been nice talking to you. See you later." Maybe the sun feels a little bad for the moon after all. It is its first satellite, and the sun is considerably more experienced in this regard. "Thanks. Likewise," says the moon, as it disappears into the shadow with Mr. Disney. Then I imagine that the sun sleeps. Not that it goes out or anything like that. It just sleeps, and not much happens. Hours pass like this until it's woken by the sound of voices. It looks around. It's the moon and Mr. Disney approaching in the distance. They're discussing the view, and the moon says, "Well, no, I think it's better this way. You have a wider perspective. I like that." "I don't know if I'll ever get used to it," says Mr. Disney, who's now circulating around the moon with considerably less speed. He still seems quite uncomfortable, and his frozen skin has taken a greenish tone. "But perhaps it won't be necessary," says the moon contemplatively and glances at Mr. Disney, who stares back quizzically. The moon continues, "Well, I was just thinking that now that you're already slowed down quite a bit, you might slow down even more, and in the end you'd stop completely because of my gravitational pull. You'd land on me." "Ha! You'd like that, wouldn't you?" Mr. Disney snorts. He's obviously not excited about the idea. "Tell me, do you think I'm interested in contributing to your mass by lying around, rotting, in some godless crater for the rest of eternity? Forget about it. I prefer rotating until I melt." "That's not what I meant at all. All I'm saying is that it's a possibility. Or actually, it's quite likely to happen if you look at the facts," declares the moon, adding, "and you don't need to make accusations like that just because you're out of your comfort zone." Mr. Disney shows a grimace and swings around, turning the back of his well-combed head to the moon. His slow orbit continues, and the moon looks incredulously at the sun, who just shrugs. "I totally understand." That's it.